The ads will target seniors, but just who is a senior these days? Back in the 1930s, 65 was set as the retirement age and when you could start receiving Social Security benefits. But now people are living longer, so is 65 still the right retirement age? Slate's Will Salatin has been researching this question, and he joins us now. Hi, Will.
Hi, Madeline.
So tell us first how the number 65 was agreed on in the first place.
Well, 65 was chosen by the Committee on Economic Security, which was basically five cabinet-level officials under President Franklin Roosevelt. And the committee gave remarkably little explanation of the choice of that number. All they said basically was, we can afford to have people retire at 65 and support them for the rest of their lives through this program. But if you look at the context of the supporting documents and the general thrust of the report, you see a couple of other points. First of all, 65 was sort of the norm of the day. That's when the state pension systems let you retire. That's when the railroad pension system let you retire. Other countries had that. And so it was just sort of a precedent. But what was behind the precedent? That gets us to the second thing, which was the committee in its report constantly talks about the program, Social Security, as being designed for people who are no longer productive, who can no longer support themselves. That's what it was supposed to be, Social Security for people who could no longer work. So my interpretation of the whole context of the document is the ultimate justification for age 65 was that in its day, that age marked the transition from physical self-sufficiency to physical dependency.
And now in our day, you have been recalculating to change that number. How did you do that recalculating?
Well, the usual argument that people make for raising the retirement age is that we live longer than we used to. It's a sheer argument about longevity. The problem with that is you don't know how healthy those people are. Can they still work or do they just need to be supported longer? So basically, what I did was I took the implicit rationale for the original age of 65, which was physical self-sufficiency, and I asked, where is that line today? And there's some truly amazing data on this. There's a study that showed that from about 100 years ago to very recently, the age of onset of various diseases advanced about 10 years. People get heart disease or respiratory disease or arthritis about a decade later than they used to. The problem is it's very hard to quantify exactly what it is that prevents old people from being able to work. So what we did was we took the question to Kenneth Manton, who's a researcher at Duke University. He runs the best longitudinal study of old people's health in the country. And he suggested something that he called active life expectancy. And that is the average number of years a person can expect to live free of chronic functional impairment. And then he used a variety of research papers to track changes over a couple of different periods and stitched together so that you could project backwards what active life expectancy was in 1935 and what it is today.
So what's the number?
Well, if you took 65 as the benchmark in 1935, that was an age at which people had 8.8 years of active life expectancy left at that point. If you projected that number forward in 1982, the age would be 68, and in 1999, the retirement age would be 70. And by 2015, according to projections, it would be 73. So today, in 2005, the retirement age would be 71.
Now, the AARP objects to raising the retirement age. They say that just because people may be living longer, that doesn't mean they're healthy enough to work longer. So what did you find out about that?
Well, first of all, the standard that I'm using of active life expectancy actually does account for the changes in the ability to work, that people are not just living longer, but they're living longer in a state that's sufficiently healthy that they can continue to work. Now, of course, there will be some people who work at very difficult manual labor type jobs, and there will be people who are in poor health, and they will need help. But we already have a program under Social Security, one that is based on disability, not age, and that program can account for those people.
So if we raise the age of retirement to 70, 73, would that solve the financial problems that Social Security faces?
Oh, it would more than solve the problems. I mean, if you used the most radical scenario, if you raised the retirement age very rapidly and got to age 73 within, say, 20 years, you'd be shaving 6 years off the period of life that most people are collecting Social Security. And if you use a rough rule of thumb that each year of beneficiary status consumes about 7% of the total expenses of the program, you'd be cutting Social Security by about 40%. Now, that's, you know, both very optimistic in terms of money and too radical in terms of speed. Congress will never agree to raise the age that quickly. Even if it did, you'd lose some of the savings because some people would end up going into the disability program. But the Congressional Budget Office has done a projection just this month, and they found that if you did it gradually to age 70 by the year 2037, you would end up basically cutting Social Security expenses by about 12%. That would put the program into surplus. And at that point, basically the Democrats and Republicans agree, maybe we could have personal retirement accounts on top of Social Security.
Opinion and analysis from Will Salatin. He writes the Human Nature column for Slate. You can find details of his retirement age analysis at slate.com. Thanks, Will.
Thank you, Madeline.